Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
The biggest breaking news stories, an outspoken opinion. The Breakfast Briefing with Julia Hartley Brewer on Talk Radio.
Good morning to you. Thank you so much for your company. It's another one of those quiet news days with not much about, just a Prime Minister being accused of lying to Parliament. All the lovey's in uproar over the BBC licence fee being frozen for 2 years. How will we ever cope without our taxis waiting for 3 hours to take us home on the taxpayers' budget? We're going to be talking to Dominic Raab, the Justice Secretary and Deputy Prime Minister, about new powers for magistrates and, of course, that police crime sentencing and courts bill last night. Big defeat in the House of Lords. No doubt his views as former Foreign Secretary on where we are with Russia and Ukraine as well, and a small matter of the fact that we are actually seeing Omicron cases completely collapsing, as I'm just saying to James Max, in the face of all of those sage predictions, which have been so unbelievably wrong. It's a mystery that anyone ever listened to them in the first place. So we're going to talk about all of that throughout the show. I'm delighted to say the person joining me to chat about all of that and give his tuppence worth what all my guests have to say is comedian Steve Allen. Good morning to you once again.
Good morning. Busy day to be doing this.
Yes,
it's
going
to be fun to get stuck in.
I'm such a broken record. I think I've said this every day for about 6 years. When are we going to get a quiet news day? I can strongly remember being a political editor, and there was that sort of, oh, good, we've got to the summer. Great. Parliament's out. Lovely. Let's have a nice little quiet time and let the other news reporters take over all the stories. And Tamworth 2 and things like that. For the older listeners will remember that. And we can just sit and have a nice quiet time. But I just don't think politics is ever going to go quiet ever again.
No. Well, they've worked out not to do politics in the Houses of Parliament. I mean, indeed, Lindsay Hall complains about that a lot. It's more about using social media, just leaking a story directly. And then now you've got the infighting, the two main houses, one of them being the House of Cummings, trying to bring down the other one. It's entertaining, if not terrifying.
Yes, it is. It is both at the same time. I mean, we're going to talk about the House of Lords, the other one as well, in a few moments. But let's talk about what Dom Cummings had to say. Another one of his epic blogs. Didn't anyone be bothered to read the whole thing? But there's quite a few tweets as well, and it is very, very clear. His line of attack is: the Prime Minister lied when he appeared at Prime Minister's Questions last week and did his non-apology, talking about how he implicitly thought it was a work event. He had not seen, the Downing Street advisor said he had not seen the email inviting everyone to a bring your own booze party from his own principal private secretary. Even though, of course, that email began with the words "we." I don't know who he's speaking for other than the fact that he works for Boris Johnson. But Dominic Cummings said, no, he did know about the party. He'd known about it in advance. A couple of very senior people had actually spoken to Martin Hayward, his principal private secretary, and said, What are you thinking? It's May 2020. People are in lockdown. What are you thinking, inviting people, to 100 people to a drinks party in Number 10? You need to cancel it. He apparently then went to the Prime Minister, according to Dominic Cummings, and asked, people are telling me I should cancel it. And the Prime Minister said, no, go ahead. It's OK to have the party. Dominic Cummings said that he personally told the Prime Minister to get a grip on what was going on in Downing Street, the sort of chaos this was, because he said he needed to cancel the party and the party was not cancelled. So he says there are two sources who will swear on oath that this all happened, according to him. Do you think if that is the case, if those people do come forward, if they're questioned by Sue Gray or questioned by the police or they just come forward into the media, that that is curtains for Boris Johnson?
I never like predicting Boris Johnson's curtains. He has Teflon curtain, whatever would be required to stretch the metaphor too far. Bizarre, isn't it? What seems to be shocking.
Now I'm just going to interrupt you there. For some reason, your line is cutting in and out. And I know it's going to, although it's wonderful on video, it's going to be very much irritating my lovely listeners listening to talk radio, as opposed to talk radio TV. So, well, let's get you back onto a phone line. Apologies for that, folks. But I'll keep talking until we can get him back on the line. But again, this will come down to not whether or not people believe what the Prime Minister has to say or think that it doesn't really matter and should a Prime Minister lose his job because he attended a drinks party. Because that's what some people think it is. I think it's rather bigger than that. Oh, I think we've got Steve Allen back. But if it is the case that the Prime Minister has lied to Parliament, you know, it is often not the scandal. It is the lying and the covering up about it afterwards that is the issue. And we know that. I mean, that statement from Prime Minister last week was, I mean, it been lawyered within an inch of its life. But do you think that could actually end his career?
Well, this, because of our bizarre system, some lies that may be shocking and upsetting that weren't taking place in Parliament won't do for him. And yet, I mean, I would surely struggle to find anyone who particularly believed the apology.
Yeah.
Even the day after, we were sat here saying, no, come on. It was barely an apology.
Well, it was laughable, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, I didn't realise I was at a works thing. I mean, works dudes can jump up at you at any time. Beware out there. You never know when you're accidentally going to be working. But you're right, this, because of our system, the way that it works, this could be the most damaging lie. But still, you surely take the point that Boris Johnson's Teflon ability, maybe if he just does something silly, falls down, you know, trips over a 12-year-old boy playing rugby again, enough people will start to like him. In fact, all it is enough Tories will think he'll win them in the election.
And that's what it's going to come down to. It's going to come down to public opinion. It's going to come down to what happens, particularly, I think, less about what Sue Gray, the investigator, has to say, and far more about what voters do on May the 5th at the local elections. Because if Tories do sit on their hands, then, you know, Boris Johnson's appeal to Tory MPs, if not Tory members, Tory MPs, is purely based on he's a vote winner. If he's not a vote winner, he has no appeal to them whatsoever. They've never had any big love of him. Word is, and it's been made very clear, that Dominic Cummings has photographs and videos, and so do other people, of various events, that there are more events to emerge, that there is video and photographic footage. And if there is a photograph or a video of Boris Johnson, clearly at what you and I and everyone listening would regard as a party, and he's still saying it wasn't a party, and then, yeah, I think an awful lot of people, again, especially those who weren't with their loved ones at that time, will be feeling very, very angry indeed. They may indeed want to protest outside Parliament. Will they be allowed to? Well, now, in the wake of Insulate Britain and an Extinction Rebellion protest blocking bridges, you know, major thoroughfares, particularly in London and M25, and frankly being an all-round irritation, the government has brought in, as part of its very, very, very large police crime sentencing and courts bill, this plan to very much limit the rights to protest in terms of how noisy and disruptive those things can be. So, for instance, in making it illegal for you to, you know, to chain yourself or glue yourself to property, and the police being allowed to end a protest if it is too noisy and disruptive. Now, again, we don't know what the the police's, you know, guidance will be for that, and who will be stopped and who will not be stopped. Well, last night in the House of Lords, because of course all the votes go through the House of Commons, then the House of Lords, there were a series of defeats in the House of Lords. Opposition peers voted against a range of those measures. Labour had called some of the plans outrageous. We know the Lib Dems, who've got a large number of peers, still felt that way as well. The bill now goes back to the House of Commons. MPs get to have their say. It doesn't become law, of course, until they both agree. Now, the Commons gets, you know, primacy, and there's a large majority if they try and push this. But there are a lot of people on all sides of the House of Commons who are very concerned that this bill, to all intents and purposes, you know, really limits people's right to protest. And as someone who is opposed to lockdown for so much of the last couple of years, watching Black Lives Matter protests go ahead in breach of all the lockdown rules, but lockdown protests being sometimes, frankly, brutally dispersed by the police, this is a cause of concern for me. Are you concerned?
I am concerned. Fundamentally, the right to protest is so important, just for the simple logic that if they take away your right to protest, what are you going to do when they take away the next thing that you're upset about? You can't protest about it. You've just lost the right. And everyone will have a protest that will be dear to their heart. It will be so easy to spin the story, to look at the protests you don't like and think, well, yes, something should be done. I'll sign away my rights.
Yeah.
I have a guilty secret that I think there is a chance that Insulate Britain is a false flag operation created by the government just to get people to agree with this bill, because on paper it looks like the silliest protest. It causes traffic problems, people hate queues, and it's something to do with lagging your loft. Surely to goodness, that's been made just to get people to agree. But I find it terrifying, the idea that someone else gets to decide if I'm too noisy, and if I am, I lose.
And there's, and it's a perception whether something is too noisy. Now, this is the thing, that you know, going through those Extinction Rebellion protests, where the bridge that I used to get to work for 2 weeks was blocked, major streets blocked in central London, I mean, damaging for the shops, working in Parliament for many years, where we had someone with a loud hailer shouting constantly into the window. I've got to be honest with you, you know, speaking personally, yes, I want those things stopped. But I also understand the democratic need for protest and the right that people have. I'm rather of the view that in a democracy, you should be campaigning to win people over rather than just trying to annoy you. And I can also understand a lot of people who live in areas where there are constant protests, having, you know, non-stop 24/7 loud protests, or people just camping in the street outside your home would be, you know, considered outrageous. And, you know, if you're going to get prosecuted for having your bins out a day early, people will think it's a bit much. So we've got to be very careful about this, because there is a balance, isn't there? I mean, the right of people to glue themselves to a train in Canning Town or go on top of a train. Well, and also the right of an awful lot of people living in Canning Town in East London to get to work at 7 o'clock in the morning, as we saw, they're taking matters into their own hands. But we also know that there are an awful lot of powers the police already have. When the police want to remove someone who has... who has decided to sit down in front of traffic on the M25, all they need is the police to A, turn up, and B, start acting the moment they turn up. And the main delays we've seen from these protests has been a failure by the police to act. As soon as the police started taking immediate action, as soon as these protests started, we didn't have a problem.
Yeah, which just tells us we don't need a change of law to bring about the solution. You need a change of strategy, tactics from the police, a way of using the laws that we already have. And it is true, if you rush to make a new law to suit one circumstance, you often regret its implications in the future. And that's exactly what we're all saying. No one wants stop and search rolled out for people who might be carrying flyers. I mean, if the police smell a glossy print finish on you, they can stop and search. It ends up becoming a bit of a mess, none of which necessarily solves the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to say, my gut feeling is we'll have to put up with some, you know, some noisy protests and some disruption to our lives in return for getting to keep the bigger prize, which is living in a free democracy.
Yeah, I think, as I say, there are two types of protests from everyone's point of view. The ones that you totally agree with and think the law shouldn't impinge at all, and the ones that you think are annoying and you disagree with, of course. Everyone will be able to drop into that, but it's more the fundamental, isn't it? You've got to accept the people who disagree with you need the same right to protest as the people who agree with you. Otherwise, you end up giving up your right by stealth. The next time you turn around, then whatever it is, whether for you it would be lockdowns, everyone has an issue that would eventually make them protest.
Yeah.
And if you suddenly realise you've then lost the right, you'll be even more ticked off.
The Breakfast Briefing with Julia Hartley-Brewer on Talk Radio.
If you liked what you heard, please subscribe and give me a good review. And don't forget to catch me on the Talk Radio Breakfast Show every weekday from 6:30 until 10.